This is a podcast from ABC Overnights.
Look, I don't know if you volunteer or not, or you have at some stage volunteered, but there's a lot of people who do, and it plays a really important role in society, not only for the person the people who are benefiting from the work of volunteers, but the volunteer themselves. And we're going to meet one with a difference. He is a citizen advocate. My next guest, Andrew Thompson, is a long-time volunteer at Citizen Advocacy Perth West. Now, what he does and his colleagues is that they are an advocate for a person living with complex needs, and often the person doesn't have a family. Andrew Thompson is his name, and I spoke to him earlier.
Barry, good morning to you. How are you?
Good. Now, tell me, how did you get into the type of volunteering that you're involved with?
Yeah, good question. I've been doing this for 18 years now. I can't believe it's been that long. I feel very, very old when I think about that. But it was at a time in my life when, you know, I was thinking about how I might put back. And at that time, I was at work and I happened to be reading the community newspaper, which is not something I do very regularly. And that day there was a letter from someone who works at Citizen Advocacy in West Perth, talking about their organisation and what they do, and just saying that they were looking for volunteers and if anyone had a mind to volunteer, that they should get in touch. And I thought that sounded like a pretty cool thing to do, so I got in touch, and the rest, as they say, is history.
And the type of volunteering that you do, I mean, we'll get onto your personal story and your relationship with Vaughan shortly, but yep, if you could sort of generally describe the type of volunteering that you do.
Sure. So Citizen Advocacy is an organisation that puts people like me, who they call advocates, in touch with and connected with people with disability, usually who don't have any family. So they're being cared for by, you know, professional support workers and a range of people, but they don't usually have any family to look out for them. So Citizen Advocacy seek out people with disability in the community who, you know, could do with someone to keep an eye out for them, basically, and they connect people up, and they hope that it will turn into a long-term relationship, which in our case seems to have worked pretty successfully.
And in that capacity, do you help various people, or do they pretty well establish you with one person and then they see how it goes?
Yeah, look, it's usually a one-on-one thing. I think some advocates do work with multiple people, but in my case, it's just been me and Vaughan all the way.
Tell us a little bit about Vaughan and some of his needs.
Yeah, so Vaughan just turned 51 just this month on the 9th of January, so he's a pretty old codger like me. He has Down syndrome. He also has some intellectual as well as psychiatric disability and issues with communication, speaking, and also some auditory issues. So, you know, he kind of won the jackpot when it comes to, I guess, multiple disability, I suppose. But having said that, he leads a very full and engaging life. He works, he's got a good social life, he's, you know, really well cared for, and my job's to be his mate, basically, and so we hang out regularly. He loves music, which is one of the reasons why we were connected together, so we'll often go to gigs, and years ago now, when I used to play in a couple of bands, he'd always come to rehearsals with us and tell us whether our music was any good or not. So really, it's a very social sort of thing, but there is a part of the relationship where, you know, you're there to look out for the person that becomes part of your life. So I look out for Vaughan and I fight his battles for him when he needs someone in his corner.
Now, you said there that you've known Vaughan for 18 years, and this is, it's a friendship, but I suppose it's a different type of friendship in many ways. Could you tell us how the friendship developed? Perhaps how long it took for there to be a level of trust?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question, and I recall when Vaughan and I were first matched and I was taken to meet him with some of the staff from Citizen Advocacy in his home. And I was really nervous. I thought, you know, what have I got myself into here? But we, you know, started to bond fairly immediately, again, you know, over our shared love of music. And things just blossomed from there. So it was quite a natural progression. And, you know, people, when we're out and about, will often say, you know, who is Vaughan and what is his relation to you? And often they'll assume that he's my brother. And I always say, we're mates, we're friends. And sometimes people ask how that came about and sometimes they don't. But I want people to know that this is a relationship that is based on friendship rather than, you know, a family or an obligation type thing, because, you know, it's a friendship that has grown and developed nicely over the time and goes both ways. I think we both get something out
yes.
of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's start with Vaughan. What difference do you think it's made to Vaughan's life having a friend in this way?
Well, look, it gives him access to the community and, you know, sort of things that he wouldn't always have an opportunity to do. So, you know, for example, last Friday we went out to the Rosemount Hotel here in Perth to go see a bunch of bands and hang out. And so, you know, it gives an opportunity to do stuff that he loves to do that he wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to do if he wasn't, if we weren't, you know, able to hang out. So it's a social outlet.
Have you noticed his confidence rise? Have you noticed sort of changes within him?
Look, he's... yes, I actually have. Thinking about it over the years, when I first met him, he actually has had quite a traumatic life, and I won't go into all the details, but when I first met him, he was still trying to process some key events that had happened in his life around foster care that he was in up until about the age of 18, as well as, you know, some changes in his accommodation arrangements. He didn't like the idea of going to work because he'd had some issues with the work that he'd done. So he's in a, you know, bit of a difficult sort of place in his life. And I know that over the years he's now back at work. He feels comfortable and you know, secure in himself. So, yeah, he has grown and developed, I guess, with confidence over time. And hopefully that's partly because of our relationship and our friendship. I think I'm probably a key constant in his life now. And I do know that he appreciates that and he does enjoy our time hanging out together. So, yeah.
You've mentioned a couple of times, Andrew, that Vaughan is working. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that he does?
Yeah, so he works at Active Foundation. And has done for a good number of years now. So they provide employment opportunities for people with disability that has high levels of support so that, you know, people have an opportunity to be successful in the workplace. Again, it's also a social opportunity as well. You know, all workplaces have a social element to them, even if the boss doesn't like the idea of that.
It's pretty crucial, yeah. I think, for any workplace.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, of course it is. But yeah, so he gets to go hang out with his workmates, he gets to do productive work, and he gets a wage every fortnight as well.
All good things. Look, my guest this morning on ABC Radio across Australia is Andrew Thompson, who's a long-time volunteer at Citizen Advocacy Perth West. We're talking to Andrew about his role as a volunteer. Andrew, so we've mentioned there what Vaughan gets out of the relationship in terms of that, you know, significant support that you're able to provide and many other things. What about you? What's the intrinsic reward for you?
Yeah, look, there's a connection, you know, there's a friendship there, and it's a genuine friendship, it's a genuine relationship, so like any relationship, I get value out of that. And interestingly, when I was thinking about, you know, what I could do and stumbled over Citizen Advocacy all that time ago, I have a son who is autistic. He was fairly early on in his life at that stage, and I did wonder whether if I kind of paid something forward through that sort of volunteer work that, you know, when I'm not around to look after him, if he ever needed someone, then the universe might send someone to look out for him as well. So there's, you know, some self-interest involved in it as well. And, you know, to be honest with you, 18 years ago, social media and virtue signaling and that sort of stuff weren't a thing, but it does make you feel pretty good then when you know that you're doing something in the community that that helps benefit someone else who, you know, hasn't really got someone to look out for them. So I get that smug feeling of satisfaction every now and then that I'm doing good things.
Well, it's just good to have a positive influence, isn't it, on someone's life?
I think so. And I have to say it's not been difficult to do either. So, you know, it's a regular commitment. We catch up at least once a week. And it is, you know, it has been for us a long-term commitment, but it's not hard to do. There are times when it's challenging in terms of having to take on some of the powers that be. But,
sense?
I'm a bit of a... Oh, look... There have been some changes in provision of services for people with disability that I've had to take on over the years and fight a good fight for Vaughan over, and so far we've been able to win, but I know there's more fights coming. And there has been some moments when Vaughan's been quite unwell where I've had to make sure that the hospital system and doctors actually do look out for him and value him the same way as they would other people, and that's been interesting because... People don't see the person always. They sometimes see the disability. And I know from direct experience now in the health system, that doesn't always lead to the best outcomes. So, you know, I've had to stand in Vaughan's corner and make sure that doctors actually look after him and make sure that he comes out the other end alive, literally, at one point. So that's been interesting.
Can you tell us more about that situation?
I can, yeah. He was he had pneumonia a few years ago and was in hospital in intensive care and in what they call in the films an induced coma. So he was, you know, he was pretty out of it. And he doesn't have the best communication skills, so he would kind of surface every now and then from his sleep and wonder what was going on and start pulling out all of the tubes and whatnot that were stuck into him. And, you know, so sometimes he didn't seem very compliant with the treatment. And I turned up at the hospital one night and was literally surrounded by this gaggle of doctors. And the lead one said, oh, look, you know, we need to look at whether we continue treatment or not. And I'd like you to sign a do not resuscitate order. It was quite confronting.
Yeah,
really.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Well, someone who's he's 51 now, so I don't know what age he was.
Yeah, I was about 3-4 years ago now. Mm. So I was, you know, I was like, oh, hang on, wait a minute. So I said, I need to think about this. And the doctor actually said, maybe we should withdraw treatment and let nature take its course. That was his way of suggesting that we, you know, allow
him
to die, basically. Yeah. And I said, hey, hang on a second, I need to think about this. And came back and said, no, we're not doing that.
Well, that brings me on to my my next point. And we're hearing your story, which is a very positive one. But I suppose there are situations where people who are vulnerable can be taken advantage of. What are the checks and balances that are put in place to ensure that the volunteer is actually working in the best interests of the person that they're connected to or introduced to?
That's a really, really good question. Citizen advocacy go through a very rigorous matching process, which includes probably, I think, one of the most rigorous background checking processes that I've been through. So, you know, you have to have police clearance and all of those sorts of things, which are pretty standard. But you also have to nominate referees, personal and professional. And I know from recalling the experience that they check your background and your integrity very, very thoroughly. So I'd be pretty confident that their selection process would mean that they do select volunteers who have the right, you know, sort of approach and the interests of the people that they connect with at the forefront of everything that they do. So, yeah, it's a really rigorous process, and the organisation is also there to provide support when people need it. So, you know, you're not sort of on your own. You do have really good networks to help you figure out what the best thing to do is when you get confronted with issues, as you can do from time to time.
So Vaughan has no family at all?
No. Look, I don't know all the details of, you know, his very early life, but I think as was, you know, the norm in the times when he was born, he was given up at birth. He was fostered till he was about 18 and then had to be moved into supported accommodation, more kind of institutional care, which is where he remains now in a group home with 24/7 care.
People do become institutionalised in terms of their own behaviour. I've seen, and that's not a reflection necessarily on the home that they're in or the care facility that they're in. I suppose it's just what happens. Have you seen a sense of independence at all that's come out inborn?
Yeah, look, and I have to say to start that he has extremely caring support workers. They do a magnificent job, and the staffing is quite stable at the house where he lives, which is terrific. Vaughan always has been a very independent person anyway, and you know, there's some really, you know, that's a really good thing. But the key thing is that that he is involved in, and as much as possible, makes the major decisions about his life. So, you know, he is involved in everything in the home, from putting together the menu, going shopping for the weekly food. You know, he looks after himself domestically. So, you know, he's involved in major decisions about his life to the fullest extent possible. And a key part of my job is to make sure that his thoughts and needs and opinions are considered when you know, when decisions are made about you know, how his life should go on, so that, you know, I'm confident that that he's getting the life and the opportunities that he wants that will be fulfilling for him and enjoyable.
The voice you're hearing on ABC Radio across Australia is Andrew Thompson. So Andrew's a long-time volunteer at Citizen Advocacy Perth West. We're talking about the work that he does on a volunteer basis. Some of the funnier moments, Andrew, when it comes to the times that you've shared with Vaughan, what would they be?
Oh, look, Barry, there are so many. I mean, like, we talked about some of the, you know, more difficult and tricky things, but most of the time it's just plain fun, hanging out and social stuff. I talked to you a little while ago. I used to play in a couple of bands, and Vaughan would come to rehearsal with us, and, you know, we'd write music and play some songs in the rehearsal studio, and he was just the very best barometer of whether, you know, they were any good or not. So if Vaughan didn't like them, we wouldn't keep going with them. We're a bit notorious in some of the live music venues around Perth, so lots of people kind of know who Vaughan is. And I took him to a gig a few years ago now, and he spent
most
of his night...
You can mention your band's name, by the way.
Oh, they're long gone. They were called the Lathams, and they were terrible, so we shouldn't talk any more about them. That's what everyone says. anyway, we went to a gig a few years ago now, a good few years ago, and Vaughan spent most of his night on the dance floor, and I'd check in with him every now and then, and he'd be, like, shooing me away, saying, don't cramp my style. So, you know, I sort of sat on a table and chatted with friends while he enjoyed himself, and then I looked up at... one moment in the night, and there was Vaughan leading this conga line of people from the dance floor through the venue, and yeah, away they went, having an awful and awesome time. So yeah, he's a very social, very gregarious man. Yep.
Look, I don't want to delve into areas that are too sensitive, and if you're not comfortable answering this question, then there's no problem. We've all got sexual needs in you know, a situation like Vaughan's.
Yep.
How do you negotiate those needs?
That's a really interesting question, again, and one that I've wrestled with over the years, because Vaughan has all of the urges and desires that any human being has. He also, you know, has the capacity to make emotional connection just the same way that that you and I do. And I've actually discussed it with, you know, with support workers and with other people in the disability field, because my dilemma there is, you know, should I and could I help Vaughan to have opportunity to, you know, fulfill his sexual desires? And I think as a human being, he deserves that opportunity. But to try and balance that against any emotional attachment that he might make that, you know, may not be there, because, you know, that would basically involve him engaging with, you know, with sex workers in a, you know, in a controlled and very reasonable and, I think, caring way. But
Well, that know. must be a situation that is considered in many instances.
It is, and there are organisations that help support people with disability in that exact context. It's just not something that I've kind of figured out just yet. He does have a partner, Michelle, who he's been you know, with for many years now, and they see each other regularly at the dance group that they go to, and you know, will attend birthdays and parties and whatnot together. But that's a very loving relationship, but it's also, as far as I'm aware anyway, a very platonic relationship at the time being. And Michelle also has Downs, so it's a really, you know, genuinely, that's a human need that I believe Vaughan should have an opportunity to meet. But I just haven't quite figured out yet how to do that in a safe way for him and with him. So, yeah, it's on the list.
Andrew, we statistically, something like 20% of Australia's population living with a disability. And historically, attitudes toward people with a disability have not really been very understanding, I don't think, and particularly so in workplaces. What have you observed with Vaughan over the time that you've been volunteering?
Yeah, look, that's, again, a really good question, and you're right. At any given time, the estimate is that one in five people in Australia live with disability, whether that's, you know, permanent disability or whether that's something that will dissipate over time. But yeah, one in five. So there's a lot of people in the community who have disability, and not all of them are visible, of course. And there is also, unfortunately, a lot of prejudice and a lot of fear and a lot of misunderstanding. So, and that's why, you know, when Vaughan and I are out and about and people say, oh, you know, how are you related? And they always assume it's a family relationship. I always make a point of saying, no, we're friends, because, you know, I want people to see our relationship as being a normal relationship, because it is. And I want people to see Vaughan as just another human being who is as normal as whatever that is, you know, whoever we encounter, and with a life that has the same value. So, you know, for example, Vaughan works in a disability employment services organisation, and that is, under Commonwealth law, allows part of his wage to be applied to the infrastructure of the organisation that provides the support for him, which in some ways, you know, is reasonable. But from my point of view, it means that he takes home far less than minimum wage. And I wonder whether as a society we could be generous enough to provide that support to people with disability who need that sort of employment without it taking money away from their pockets. So that they can, you know, do a decent day's work for a decent day's pay, which isn't the case at the moment. Workplaces have a long way to go. Society has a long way to go. But having said that, we have come a long way. So, you know, we're making progress. But I just don't think that as a community we are yet seeing that disability is a normal part of human existence, and you know, that it's something that we could all encounter at any time.
Yes. I mean, yeah. You keep going.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it can happen to anybody in an instant. Of course, lots of people experience disability through things like, you know, accidents, either in the workplace or vehicle accidents, and you know, it can happen to anyone. So I just think as a society it would be wonderful if we were a little bit more including and a bit more sort of, you know, taking things normally with people with disability, and if we were able to value the lives of people with disability as equal to anybody's, because they are.
Has the NDIS made, and again, this may be too sensitive or politically sensitive in this case, but has that National Disability Insurance Scheme, which is, you know, we've heard so much about, has it made much difference to the lives of people with disabilities?
Okay, so in broad terms, it has made an enormous positive difference to the lives of people with disability. And there are some people with disability now who get funding through the NDIS who never previously would have gotten funding. But there is a category of people like Vaughan who live in what's called specialist disability accommodation, who are being basically ripped off by the system because the accommodation and the provision of the service and support around them is now being valued less than it was previously. So we have a situation where people like Vaughan are being farmed out to private organisations who take less money to provide the service than was previously the case, and inevitably the service is therefore less, and their lives get diminished as a result of that. And I think governments feel like they're okay to do that because people like Vaughan don't have a strong voice. But fortunately for people like Vaughan, when they have me in their corner, they do have a strong voice.
Makes a
little battle I'm fighting at the moment and will continue to fight, because Vaughan's home is still now run by the state government in Western Australia, and so is still funded to a higher level than it would be under the NDIS. And when they tell me that, and that was a battle I fought with the state government over the course of the last election, and fortunately we were able to win that one. But when they come and tell me that the state government is going to stop topping up the funding for Vaughan's home, and we have to take the meagre money that the NDIS says the provision of the housing and the support is worth, then that's another battle that I'm going to have to keep fighting for him, because it will diminish his life and the value of his life if I let them do that.
There must be many other people who were in the situation that Vaughan was in without your support. What happens to people who are, you know, have a number of who live with a number of disabilities, and they really don't have any family or friend support around?
Look, I think what happens is that they don't have a voice, and so when, you know, things change and governments do things and bureaucrats do things in the name of progress, they're the ones who can end up being overlooked or in worse circumstances because, you know, they don't have a voice. And that's really sad and unacceptable, basically. So I've been a pain in the ass about this with governments for quite a while now, excuse my language, and will continue to be so because it's not right.
Can you tell us a little bit about your own background, Andrew? Because, I mean, clearly you've been able to negotiate bureaucracies, which is no small feat, obvious other skills as well.
So professionally I was a teacher initially. I taught for about 8 years, and then I moved into the education bureaucracy in Western Australia and climbed a fair way up the slippery slope there, so I kind of know the inner workings of bureaucracies and, you know, what goes down. I've been running my own little business for about the last 10 years, but I also, until the end of last year, served 6 years on the Ministerial Advisory Council on Disability here in WA, providing advice to, well, it was over that period, it was three different ministers. So I guess I have a reasonable insight into the disability sector and, you know, the workings of government, which, yeah, is useful. And I'm also an argumentative, awkward old man as well.
Oh, look, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. I think in some instances it has its advantages.
Well, so. You need to roll him out every once in a while, I find, anyway, to stand up. Look, it's been a fascinating chat, Andrew. Thank you very much for that, and we wish you and Vaughan all the best. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, look, thank you. And, Barry, look, I appreciate, you know, you're taking the time to be interested in this area, because, you know, volunteering generally is a really important part of life in the community, and it gives great opportunity for people to enhance their own lives. But disability is an area where, you know, people need to be more engaged, and people need to say, what can we do to help make other people's lives as valuable as ours? Because, you know, people like Vaughan need people to look out for them, and they are everywhere in our community. You know, they're a big part of our community, and it doesn't take much. It's not a hard thing to do, and it's mostly a lot of fun and very rewarding. So, yeah, I really appreciate your interest.
It's Andrew Thompson there, who's a long-time volunteer at an organisation called Citizen Advocacy Perth West.